All right, let's settle down and get ready for God's Word. The title of my message this morning is 5 plus 1 Miracles. Turn to somebody and say, 5 plus 1 Miracles. What's the plus 1? All right, we'll come to that. But, you know, as you know, we're beginning to take our gift day offering to starting today. And the last couple of weeks, I've been sharing from God's Word to stir our hearts to faith, to joyful, hilarious, generous, sacrificial giving. And the first Sunday, we looked at Mary, who broke the alabaster jar that contained worth a year's wages and poured it all out on Jesus, on His head and on His feet as a wonderful sacrificial act of worship, of giving. Jesus looked at it and said, whatever she has done will be proclaimed throughout the world. That's what He said. Wherever the gospel is preached, people will speak about this amazing act of Mary. You know, and that's the kind of worship and giving that pleases the heart of God. And then last week, we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, where we looked at how Paul was stirring up the Corinthians to give. And what he was saying is, listen, you know, see those Macedonians who live in that slum. That's what he was talking about. The Macedonians were in extreme poverty. He says, when I spoke to them about giving, they responded wonderfully. And so he was trying to get the Corinthians who drove BMWs, all right, to give. And the example he uses, look at the Macedonians, were so poor, but there was extreme generosity. They pleaded with us. We want to give. And so today we're going to look at 5 plus 1 miracles, and I'm going to take us to the Old Testament, to 1 Kings. So if you'd like to turn to 1 Kings, and we're going to look at chapter 17. It's a story of Elijah in the time of King Ahab. And for the background, we'll just go to 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 29. All right, just a background to that. So 1 Kings 16 verse 29 says, in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab son of Omri became king of Israel. And he reigned in Samaria over Israel 22 years. Okay, so just a little background. The nation of Israel was split into two, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. All right? The northern kingdom was called Israel. The southern kingdom was called Judah. Judah was faithful to the Lord. Israel went further and further away from God. Ahab was a king in the northern kingdom. So that's a little bit of background over there. Now, what kind of man was Ahab like? Now, wouldn't you love to have your name in the Bible? Wow, imagine some scripture says something about you. Let's see what the Bible has to say about Ahab. Look at verse 30. In verse 30, it says, Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. What a horrible thing to have written about you in the Bible. It says, you know, Israel was bad on its own, going away from God, but Ahab was worse than all his ancestors. He did more evil, terrible. You know, in fact, in 1 Kings 21, verse 25, it has this to say about Ahab. It says, there was never a man like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord. And we need to realize that he was bad, but you know, something bad can get worse. You know how he became worse? Look at the next verse. Urged on by his wife Jezebel. All right, so he was bad, but let's turn to 1 Kings 16 again. But because of his wife Jezebel, his bad went from literally bad to worse. Okay, that's what happened. That's the kind of man Ahab was. And in 1 Kings chapter 16, we see that Ahab, verse 30, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. Okay, and it lists out these sins. He not only considered it trivial to commit the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, but he also married Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and began to serve Baal and worship him. He set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal that he built in Samaria, and so on and so forth. Okay? So, what were some of the sins of Ahab? Number one is, he was evil. That's there. But secondly, is he married somebody from who was not from the people of God. And this woman, Jezebel, led him into do so much evil that God declared him as the most evil person up to that time. What a terrible claim to fame. Okay? And so just as an aside to those who are looking to get married, okay, if you marry a person who's not part of God's family, you know, then you end up in great problems as Ahab ended up. So those who are single, we are praying for marriages. We're saying, listen, believe God, trust God, fast, pray, get on your knees and say, Lord, I want to marry a believer. I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to marry a believer. I just want to say we've seen dozens of marriages ruined when godly people have married unbelievers. And we see that happen here. Not that Ahab was godly, but he went from bad to worse. All right. So, and just note here that Jezebel was from Sidon. That's in Lebanon. All right? Her father was Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. And they began to worship Baal. Now, who's this god Baal? He was a god of fertility, and he was a god of the weather, rain. Keep that in mind. This is all the background. God of fertility and god of rain. And so in the midst of this dark and bleak situation, the nation of Israel, dark, bleak, idol worship, evil happening. In fact, we don't have time to get into it, but you know, when Elijah comes on the scene, he says, God, I'm the only one who's worshiping you. There's nobody else, you know. And then God says, listen, you're not the only guy. There are 7,000 who've not bowed the knee to Baal. Okay, but these 7,000 were worshiping God, but in secret, because the situation was terrible. But in the midst of this dark, dark situation, we turn to 1 Kings 17, verse 1. And there is a ray of hope that bursts forth. 17, verse 1. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few words except at my word. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the God of the universe. You're the creator of all things, Lord. You know the beginning from the end. Lord, I thank you for your word. May your grace and anointing be upon me as I proclaim your word. Would you stir our hearts this morning, Lord, as we worship you through the word, as we hear your word, may your anointing be upon us and may your word transform us. Lord, I pray that faith would rise up in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, miracle number one is this. In this dark and dire situation, it's bleak. Yeah, politically, spiritually, the nation of Israel is in darkness. And then out of the blue, Elijah comes forth. We don't know much about him. All it says is he goes, one sentence, he goes before the king of the land, King Ahab, and he says this. He says, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives. So he's declaring the name of his God. He says, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. Isn't that amazing? You know, I can tell you it's not going to rain in the next 2 days. It's not a prophecy, but, you know, you don't expect rain. So 2 days, 2 weeks, maybe even 2 months, we can say it. But next few years, that's amazing. What is Elijah doing here? He's coming to the king of the land. This wasn't to anybody. King of the land and Jezebel. And he's telling them, you know what? The God of Israel is the true God. These people worship Baal because they thought he would give them children and he would give them rain. See that? And he's saying there is going to be no rain. not for the next few days or few months, but the next few years, except at my word. Wasn't that amazing? Yeah, so here there is hope coming for Israel. What does James chapter 5, verse 17 and 18 say about Israel, about Elijah? Look at James chapter 5, 17 and 18. Amazing, amazing verses. Yeah, you got that there? It says, now Elijah was a man just like us. Elijah was a man just like us. Turn to somebody and say, just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. So, you know, when we know our God, that same anointing that Elijah had can be ours. When we see difficult situations that look bleak, there's no hope, but God is waiting for his Elijahs to rise up, who will proclaim the word of God, will proclaim the truth and say, it may look like this, but I'm speaking God's word. I'm praying God's word. This is going to happen. All right? So that's miracle number one. So miracle number one, no rain for 3.5 years. Let's go. Miracle number two. Okay. Now, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Leave here, turn eastward. Sorry, this is 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 2. And God came to Elijah and said, leave here, turn eastward and hide in the Kerith ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there. Amazing supernatural provision of God. So God tells Elijah, there's going to be no rain, but what you do is you go to the Kerith ravine. There's a brook there, and there's water. Well, all we need to live on is bread and water. But God gave him water. And then he says, I have ordered the ravens to feed you there. There was no Zomato, there was no Swiggy, and no Uber Eats. But there were ravens who came and fed Elijah. And what did he have? So he did, verse 3, he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kerith ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. All right? So, amazing. So, in a time when the rains stopped over the land, God fed his man. Wasn't that amazing? You know, that, and it was a supernatural provision. It was amazing. And, you know, and I just want to encourage you that say, we may be looking at the economy and saying, oh, I don't have a job. You know, or I have a job, but I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Or, you know, I want to get married. We're looking at all these different things. And what God will say is, listen, in the midst of uncertainty, he will take care of you. Turn to somebody and say, he will take care of you. Okay, he took care of Elijah. Now, the bad news is verse 7. Sometime later, the brook dried up. Why? Because there had been no rain in the land. Okay, so the brook dried up. There had been no rain in the land. And did God desert Elijah? No. God said, listen, no problem. The brook is dried up, but I've got plans for you. And he gives him some instructions. He says, I want you. So let's see what he said. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. He says, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. All right? So Elijah must have been wondering, what's this supernatural provision? Is God going to send me to this other? Sidon was out of Israel. It's in Lebanon today. All right? It was a Gentile land. And God says, I want you to go to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. Okay? So just for us to know one thing, our confidence, Elijah's confidence was not in the brook. It was in the God who made the brook and sent the ravens. For us as well, God may supernaturally provide different ways or naturally provide, but our confidence is not in the provision. It's in the God who provides. All right? Jehovah Jireh. Okay, so third miracle. He says, okay, I want you to go to Zarephath to Sidon. All right? And there I've instructed somebody to take care of you. Elijah may be thinking, I wonder, is this a rich guy? Does he have a big three-door refrigerator with all kinds of goodies in there? And God says, you know, actually, I've commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. Now, in those days, you know, widows were considered the poorest of the poor. They had nothing. And they were very poor. She wasn't even a rich widow, as we come to see later. Now, the amazing thing is, where was Jezebel from? Sidon, Sidon, whatever you pronounce, okay? That's where she was from. That's where the Baal worship was centered around. And God sends Elijah right in the middle of all that is happening to say, in the middle of that idolatry and all that, I am going to supernaturally care for you. So God didn't just take him out of the situation, but in that situation, God did miraculous things. So let's look at miracle number three. Okay? And so God sends Elijah to this widow in modern-day Lebanon. Verse 10. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. Have you seen poor people gather sticks? There's no pipe gas. There's no HP cylinder or Bharat gas. Okay, they gather sticks and they light them and cook their food on them. So there was this lady carrying sticks. And he called to her and he said, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? The lady says, okay, water. Water was precious at that time because of the famine. But she says, no problem. And as she was going to get it, he called, and bring me a piece of bread. Tell me, how many of us have bread at home? All of some hands are not going up. Okay, bread, chapati, dosa, whatever. We have something like that, right? So the equivalent, a piece of bread. You know, we have a piece of bread. How many have a piece of bread that they throw out? It dries up, it gets bad. We have so much. All he's asking for one piece of bread. Okay? And so this is what she says in verse 12. As surely as the Lord your God lives. She's not a believer, remember. Okay, she's an unbeliever. She says, I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. She's saying, listen, I have next to nothing. Once that next is over, there'll be nothing. All right? That's what she's saying. I've got next to nothing. Just a little atta and a little bit of oil. And she said, and the plan is this. I'm going to take gathering a few sticks. I'll take it home. I'll make a meal for myself and for my son. We are two of us. That we may eat it and die. That'll be our last meal. So this is what Elijah says. He says, listen. Amazing promise. Verse 13. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. He says, go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. Okay, she's saying, listen, take that flour, make something. She said, there's only enough for me and my son. But she's saying, no. Elijah's saying, make something for me first. And then make something for you and your son. And then he gives her a tremendous promise. For this is what the Lord says, the God of Israel says, verse 14, the jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. Amazing, amazing promise. She had nothing. She was going to die. That was going to be her last meal. But Elijah says, test God in this. Okay? Step out in faith. You see, if you have a bin full of flour and a whole barrel full of oil, there's no faith involved in feeding Elijah. You can feed 10 Elijahs. But when you have this much of flour and a little bit of oil, and you've got to use most of it up to feed Elijah, it requires great faith, believing that that is going to multiply. So we see miracle number three happening. Verse 13, she went away and did as Elijah told her. She said, you know, and that's how God works. When we respond in faith, when we do something out of faith, God honors that faith. Okay? And so she went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. Verse 16, for the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. What an amazing miracle. For, I don't know how many, you know, out of the 3.5 years, I don't know how long Elijah was with her, you know, but all the time, maybe he was 6 months at the Kerith Ravine. That would have been 3 months with this lady. But for whatever that period of time was, there was a supernatural provision for this lady because she believed. She trusted the word of the Lord that came through Elijah. And she says, I have very little. I have nothing almost. But I'm going to give it. And God supernaturally multiplied it. All right, that's miracle number 3. Let's look at miracle number 4. Miracle number 4 is this. Sometime later, verse 17, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. So this, she had a son. He fell sick. He became worse and worse, and he finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my son and kill my son?" And this is what happened. The son died. Widows are, you know, vulnerable on their own. She had a son who she said, "Will look after me, you know, and he'll grow up and take care." But this son also died. What a devastating thing. And in the midst of it, she's saying, "Listen, I've fed you. I've done this. I've stepped out in faith. And now my son dies." And then the story tells us, it tells us that this is what Elijah does. He takes him up to his room. He prays over him. And this is what happens. He prays, verse 21. Then he stretched himself out on the boy 3 times and cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him." So there was no doubt the son was dead. The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child, carried him down from the room into his house. He gave him to the mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." Right? So the miracle there is this, number 4, is that her son died. But because Elijah was living there, and he was living there because she had fed him, she received another miracle in her life. Okay, she had not fed him. Maybe she wouldn't have died. Okay, but she would have missed out on this miracle. So her giving sacrificially and in faith resulted not only in provision, but there was health. There was a wonderful miracle of life that took place. Okay, I think there is miracle number 5 there as well. All right, and the miracle is this. When that son came back to life, verse 24, then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God." I mean, this has got to be funny. Now laugh with me. Her flour, she had a little bit to die and live on, is being multiplying every day. They've been having chapatis morning, noon, and night, or whatever it is they would make there. Not just her, but she, her son, and Elijah. Supernaturally has been growing, but she didn't believe yet. Isn't that amazing? But when her son died and came to life, she says, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." So it took a second miracle for her to be convinced about God and His word. All right. Now, what's miracle? So how many miracles have you had so far? 5 miracles. Wonderful. Well, let's look at miracle number 6. Miracle number 6 is in you and in your life and in your response to God's word. Those are the unwritten miracles yet, you know, where I'm praying that faith will rise up as we've listened to this story. Yeah? And to say that, yeah, we can do something called safe giving. You know, the woman could have said, "Listen, I can give you water, but I can't give you any bread. That's just for us." But that woman believed the word of the Lord where Elijah said, "Listen, not only will you have enough for your last meal, but you'll have enough till the end of the famine for God to take care of you." And God miraculously multiplied it. And not only that, her son who died came back to life again. And this morning, I want to urge us and I want to motivate us that we would stir our hearts and say, Lord, I want to give this morning towards this gift offering, okay? And I want you to do a miracle in my life as I give. There's no miracle when you have a full box of flour and a bottle of oil to make one chapati and give somebody. It costs us nothing. All right? It's when we give sacrificially, beyond our ability. And we are giving, not legalistically, but we are giving trusting God. All right? That's the kind of giving God is looking for. And and I just want to share a little bit about what we want to use part of this offering for. One is, you know, we are a family. We are a church. We are a community where one of the key things we want to see happen here is we want to obey Jesus' command to go and make disciples of all nations. That's His command. We want to keep doing that. Today, with great joy, we'll baptize Esther and we are obeying that command. You know, we had the Get Connected course a couple of weeks ago, and we had people on the course who said, listen, you know, after coming to Word of Grace Church, we cannot go back to the traditional churches. Our lives have changed. So we are forging a new community here, and that community needs to continue till Jesus comes. All right? So you're investing in disciple making here, not only here, but we want to give to the nations, okay? As part of the Regions Beyond Global offering. We are giving so that churches can be planted across the world, all right? Wonderfully, across the world, right from Burundi to UP to other places. Now, none of us may ever be able to go to those places, okay? I remember the stories about UP. We had Donald with us recently, and Nigel have told us, you know, there are no, where they go to minister, there are no toilets. You know, we may think mission trips are very, adventurous and wow. There are no toilets. They've got to go into a field, okay? And you're not alone in that field. There are lots of people. Anybody want to sign up for the next mission trip to UP? And Nigel was saying the first time that he went there, he said they were in the sugarcane fields. And there were tigers in that region. And tigers would come into the village and take away dogs and things like that. Can you imagine? They had to go with a stick and make noise so that any tiger would not disturb them. Okay? So we are privileged to... Now, we can't go to all these different places. But if we can't go, at least we can send our money that'll go. Right? The other thing we want to give towards working with the poor. We want to see what can we do. Now, in the past, we've given food packages. So we may look at families that we can support that are poor, that have nothing. You know, for us, we know after this meeting, there's a meal waiting for us at home or at a restaurant. But there are many who don't have that. All right? We want to give towards is, you know, the Gideons do an amazing job of distributing thousands of pieces of scripture. And every year we've been giving towards that, you know. And they go to schools, they go to colleges, right in Pune and all over India. They just hand out Bibles, you know. And out of the thousands they hand out, some people may read them and some people have been saved. Wow, great. And so we want to say, you know, we may not do that, but we can give so that the Word of God will go out. We want to give towards Word of Grace. We want to see that what we are doing here continues. We want to continue to build by investing in people, investing in infrastructure, and other things. Because, okay? So, and you